Okisan Litapi, racist. So, the minute I came across your profile, it seemed like all you did was spread hate. Not trying to educate people on the past, but just spread hate among Native Americans and white people. So it may not look like it, but I'm half Blackfoot. My father and my grandmother both are from the Blackfoot tribe, or more commonly known, the Siksika tribe. Now, before you go into the hate colonizer bit, if you ever see this video, my family is immigrants. My mom's side is Filipino, mostly, and Hawaiian. My dad's side, all Native Americans. So I beg of you to tell me how I'm a colonizer. And granted, yes, I appear white because my grandmother on my mom's side is German, like from Germany. And my dad's father lives in Scotland. I don't know about you, but when I was taught as a child about my lineage and my history, I was told not to hate. I was told not to hold a grudge. I was told to know about my past and understand what happened, but to not hold it against anybody. You see, you're stuck in this victimhood mentality about how your life is so bad or how badly natives were treated. We already know how we were treated. We already know how others were treated. But that does not give us an excuse to be racist towards anyone else. My grandmother has faced racism. She has faced discrimination. And yet she does not hold anything against anyone. Instead of trying to make herself better than, she educates people about our history. All you're doing is living in the past. And to be 100% honest, you are the reason more and more people are becoming racist towards other people. You have this I'm better than you, holy art thou mindset, and it's not right. You're not better than anyone else. Granted, I didn't speak much of my language. None of my family really did. We only knew short little phrases. Now, if you talk to me my language, I can understand you. Just like I can understand how my grandmother speaks German, and like how my grandfather speaks Gaelic. All of our differences is what makes us unique. And when someone thinks they're better than other people, like you're not. You're just on the lower ring of society as someone who's racist and hateful. So to end this, yes, we should be proud of who we are. We should be proud of our lineage. We should be proud of where we came from. But never should we have an excuse to be racist, to be hateful towards anyone else just because of their skin color. Not every white person is a colonizer. Not every white person's families attributed to atrocities that happened over the years. So for once, sit down, shut up, and mind your own goddamn business.
You are listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
So, welcome to the Alex Spicer Show. I'm actually very stoked to have this guest today. So, to be honest, I didn't know his real name till a couple of minutes ago. When you follow someone on TikTok, you tend to only know them by their username. So this whole time I've been calling him Zodiac. I'm glad to know his real name is Elijah, correct? I said that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And Elijah, let me just tell you a little bit about how I came across Elijah, because our paths crossed from TikTok. I know TikTok is, you know, the great social media platform nowadays. Everyone's hopping on it. But let me just share with you. So I actually am fairly new to TikTok. I wasn't too excited about hopping on it very quickly, but my little brother finally got me into it. And when I got on it, he said, "Now you've got to see, there's this very racist Native American guy on there. And he calls everyone a colonizer." Now, for the purposes of this podcast, I'm not going to say this guy's username or anything because I don't want him to get any more attention. But he believes extremely into critical race theory and believes strongly that anyone who basically is white is essentially a colonizer. They are an oppressor to anyone who is non-white. And he is not subtle about it at all. And I've watched a number of his videos, and I had done replies to some of his videos that I disagreed with. And then at random in my feed, I saw him saying, you know, "Hey, colonizer, blah, blah, blah." And then boom, Elijah's face comes up and you said, What is it? Sanatapi? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So Oki Sanatapi is Blackfoot for hello, how are you? And I said racist afterwards.
Okay. Okay. I was wondering, because when you said that, I was like, either that means how are you, or he was calling him racist in Blackfoot and then translated for us. I wasn't sure which one it was. Now your video really struck a chord with me, and I really like how you were able to go into detail without trying to be like, oh, let's go into the history and you're wrong in this way. You were just basically able to explain by your own personal experience without trying to be any sort of historian how he was wrong on a number of levels. Now, I know we have already heard the audio by now, but can you share with me what got you so involved that you're willing to make a video and call him a racist and basically prove him wrong?
So when I came across Modern Warrior, I didn't really give him any mind, because the videos that I was seeing, he was calling out mostly people who had a very prejudiced or one-sided views. I'm like, okay, maybe he's trying to educate people. Maybe he's trying to teach people about our history. But as I delved deeper into his page, it got bad. As in, he was calling everyone who was white passing a colonizer, anyone who didn't agree with him a colonizer. He was, I guess, trying to gain attention in the most negative way I thought possible. And so instead of trying to become hostile or just calling him a name, I decided, okay, let me tell you how it is for a white passing native who's been called a colonizer, even though my grandmother, who still lives on the reservation, has faced real oppression. Like, he has every opportunity I have as an American: college. He can marry whoever he wants. He can identify however he wants. He can basically go out in the world, open a business like he has, and do anything he wants. And yet he still thinks he's oppressed in some way.
That's correct. And actually, let me just say, like you called him out, he already has started a business. He monetizes his racism. Yes. And also, he has gone to college. He has gone to, as he calls it, a white man's college. And yet he has, I'm going to use a term against them, because I learned a lot about critical race theory and stuff, because I have a cousin who's getting his doctorate, and he has had to combat it a lot. And I feel like, to use our own terms against him, this guy has internalized his oppression. What I mean by that is, for someone who hates white people so much, he took a very white, you know, he went to a white man's college and was indoctrinated by the white man. and now it is his religion. I mean, like, that's what he believes to his core.
And what irritates me is that old saying that hate sells, and it's exactly what he's doing. Like, he's selling merchandise with "Hey Colonizer" on it to people who don't understand what he's actually doing is not appropriate. And it irritates me a lot, because I'm a second generation American. My mother was a first generation, and her family was from Scotland. My family was tortured and faced real oppression. On my mother's side, a majority of my family is Filipino and Hawaiian, and they were treated like they were garbage. And I know what it's like to, I came up from the lowest of lows for poor. I lived on a little farm in Texas in the middle of nowhere, and then worked my way up to open up a financial consultation business for myself, something no one else in my family did. But I didn't think that I was oppressed because I had less opportunities than everybody else. And it irritated me a lot, because I still face oppression as a person who is not, I don't want to say oppression. I still face, I guess, I don't know how to put it. It's more of a prejudice, because I look white, but none of my family was here when colonization happened, except my Blackfoot family. And so I think that's where he's missing out the most on his argument, is that he is calling random people who he doesn't know the background of colonizer.
You're right. It makes the world too simplistic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We are not just this or just that. And actually, I have to say this, because I get excited and I don't want to derail us too much. But let me just say this: I am also Scottish. My last name should actually be Heron. So that's my middle name. My last name should actually be Heron, but my dad was adopted by a part German, part Sioux, Sioux Indian, whose last name was Spicer. So I'm not actually related biologically to the Spicers, but I actually should be a Heron, because my ancestors come from Scotland, and also Filipino. I lived in the Philippines for a time, and I love Filipinos. Mm. They are the happiest people. In fact, I just came back from South Dakota. I was at an event there, and there was these Filipinos doing this food truck, and I speak Ilonggo, and I went to the, and they were like, and I asked them what language they speak, and they said Ilonggo, and I was like, yes! Started speaking to them, and it's just amazing how, you know, you talk about like, you never saw yourself as necessarily so disadvantaged you couldn't do something for yourself. And I think of anyone who can avoid being indoctrinated, you know, being forced to believe something that is not true, something that disempowers them. If they can avoid that, then the sky's the limit. And I don't want to say I'm just like you, I'm not, but I really relate to what you said about growing up poor. I grew up pretty dang poor. I also, and thing is, I never once thought, oh, you know, I could never make it because I don't have money, you know, and all these other people got money. Like it, that was never my experience. I will say, personally, I did experience being mistreated because I was raggedy. You know, I was not as wealthy as basically everyone else in my school. Coaches would pass me up for sports. They'd be like, no, you're not one of these rich people, you know, whose name we know, right? You're this outcast, and you don't go, oh man, you know, you just move on with life.
Yeah, like I've been called slurs, the slur for Asian people. I've been called a buckethead, a jughead. I've been called an Injun, which in South is a derogatory term for a Native American. And
yeah,
I didn't let it bother me because those people were very close-minded. And I knew if I wanted to succeed, I had to be the one to succeed. I couldn't base my entire life off of what other people thought about me.
That's a very, very good statement there. Yeah, if you were to do that, what would you be doing now? You would probably be trying to find a way to make money off of racism and hate.
And I'd probably still be living in dependent on my parents as well.
For sure. Now I'm really curious though. You're like a mix of all these different backgrounds. I'm very curious to know where I understand the Blackfoot, I understand the Scottish. Where did this Filipino stuff like sneak right in there?
So my grandmother on my mom's side is the Scottish one. And my mother's father is Filipino and Hawaiian. So his family were living in the Philippines for a really long time, ended up emigrating to Hawaii and then living there for a couple of generations. And then once my grandfather was about 12, they moved to California.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And that's kind of where you are now, right? You eventually end up in California now. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I grew up in Texas, but I live here in California now.
Awesome. Now, I find it very fascinating. When someone is in this mindset, right? Like the mindset that you have had, which was these people are closed-minded, but basically, you know, you have to take care of yourself. You're going to do it yourself. Would you say that there is a level of personal responsibility that many people are lacking nowadays?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I was taught as a kid, both by my elders and by my family, that if I wanted something in life, I was going to have to work for it. No one was going to hand it to me. No one was going to show me sympathy. If I wanted to do something, if I wanted to succeed, it took blood, sweat, and tears. And a lot of my generation, I'm 24 years old, a lot of my generation is expecting handouts. They don't want to work. They don't want to have to struggle for a little bit to succeed. And if I'm not working, it irritates me to the fullest because I'm not doing anything to contribute. I'm not putting food on my table. I'm not paying my bills. I couldn't rely on someone else to just do that for me constantly. It would drive me crazy.
Yeah. I'll take it a step further. Not only does it drive a good man crazy or a woman, it's degrading to your soul because eventually if you don't, let's say if you take that dole, you get that support, and you start living off of it, mm-hmm. as much as it may bug you, if you do it long enough, you then feel resigned. Mm-hmm. To that state of being, which is a state of self-loathing, mm-hmm. and then it causes you to much more easily hate your fellow man. I'm going to say something, and I want to know what your opinion is on this, but I almost feel like in that same vein, that is a big reason why handouts to anyone, I don't care if they're Native American, I don't care if they're Black or whatever, or in the poverty level, I feel like handouts given in a government way, which is very non-social, it's just like you can take without any accountability, without any interaction. That is just, it degrades the human soul, and it doesn't help them get out of the situation that they're currently in. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. It's, if I were to do what I did when I was 16, and that was self-loathing, I was never going to get out of this situation, I was going to stuck being poor, I still would be poor. I would be stuck in a helpless situation. But instead of doing that, I wanted to further myself, actually make something of myself, and not live off the system like my family had to. And granted, they didn't do it because it was easy and fun. They did it because they weren't making enough money to eat every day. And I wasn't going to repeat that cycle of just living off the system and being dependent on it and eventually just having nothing to show for it. I would much rather have a bunch of useless skills than have no skills at all.
Yeah. Do you read much of Thomas Sowell at all? Have you ever heard of Thomas Sowell?
I haven't.
So Thomas Sowell, he makes actually a pretty good point along these same lines. He talks about how basically once you give people the opportunity to not provide for themselves, right? Because at some point, many people do eventually need the extra support. Mm. Now, I argue there's another way of obtaining that we could do it without government agencies. But regardless, many people come to the point where they need it. And I know I've been there. And if you do not provide a way for them to proactively get themselves out of that situation, they will stay there, right? Like they don't have the flip of the change of mindset like you did. Now, I'm curious to know, given how you were raised and being in that situation, how did you end up with this new mindset? What was the impetus that caused you to be like, no, this isn't how I want to think and how I want
to
live?
Going to college for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I went to college for the first time, I was going to a local college in my town, and I was going through student aid. I was getting grants, all the things to basically help me get through school. And I saw so many people of my generation dependent on their parents and complaining about every single little thing that was wrong with the world, yet they had no ideas and no way to fix it. And it's not like they were like, they're like, okay, let's sit down and brainstorm. They would just complain and then expect it to be fixed. And then I realized, like, these kids, my generation, they haven't had to struggle. A lot of them haven't had to struggle. A lot of them have been handed things. So why would I sit there in a mindset that is so negative instead of getting my education, moving on, and making something of myself?
That's a really great realization. It's funny. I had totally forgotten that for my college years. I remember also being very shocked at how many parents paid for their kids' college. My parents said, "You're on your own." Like, for my kid, they're like, "You save up, you prepare, because when you're out, you're out."
Yeah, I got emancipated.
And so when I went there,
I got emancipated at 16. So at 16, I was on my own. I worked. At points I've lived in my car, I've slept on the streets, and I've worked my way up to now having a place to live and having reliable transportation and having a job. And most kids my generation wouldn't be able to go through that.
So why would they not be willing to go through that? Are they just too good? Are you somehow lesser than them that you can handle sleeping in your car and going through these things, but somehow they're of a different breed? Like what prevents them from being able to do that?
As my mother would put it, they've never had sleep for dinner. My mom
well said.
Yeah, my mom told me when I got emancipated, "You're on your own. I'm not going to help you." And so I thought, okay, this is going to be the time that I need to pull up my bootstraps and get things done. And then when I had my daughter at 19, I panicked even more. She was an unplanned pregnancy, and I got my GED and I decided to just start working. And a lot of kids my age were still partying, and none of them had even done their taxes by themselves before. And so yeah. I realized that at 19, I had more maturity than the kids around me. But then if I said I was more mature, I came off snobby. Like, I knew more than them. It's like, I've just experienced real life before you have.
Yeah. Because by having parents take care of them, right? By their parents not delegating more responsibility to those kids, they live in a bubble. They don't know how the real world works. I'm curious to know, when you had your first kid, and you suddenly realized, it sounded like from what you said that you kind of had this panic mode. How would you describe the feelings or motivation that a child in Under Your Care gives you.
Terrified. Completely terrified. I was not ready to be a dad at that time. But I realized that, because my mother had me when she was very young. My mother had me when she was 16. And so I realized that if I'm going to give her the best life, I need to straighten up and I need to grow up and be an adult about things. And I started working nonstop. I was working 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week, just so I'd make sure she had everything she needed. And I had a few coworkers who were my age, and these people couldn't last standing up 6 hours.
You know, I have observed from my experience, from yours and a couple of other people that I've interviewed and spoken to before, there is something about an individual having a child, and it doesn't matter when, but having a child that allows, at least for a man, it allows them to realize they've got to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps and freaking make something of themselves, right? Like do something. And what I find interesting is there are those out there who, when they go through these situations, they don't pick themselves up. They choose, they go, okay, this can be hard, but if I get enough government assistance, we'll get by. rather than saying, I've just got to work my freaking tail off, right? And I'm going to get this done. Would you say that maybe your parents played a role in teaching you how to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and taking all that responsibility rather than saying, oh, I can find a way to outsource this through government aid?
To a degree, my father was incarcerated up until I was about 22 years old. And so I didn't have like that strong male role model to teach me the basic things about being a man, like shaving, sports, changes with puberty, just different things I had questions about. And my mother had to work three jobs in order to support us. And so I realized from a young age that it might just be me and my siblings at that point. And me and my wife both had the same similar situations where the parents weren't really around. We both had to raise our siblings. And it kind of pushed us into a role of being a parental figure faster than we wanted to be.
Would you say that even not only did it push you into that role, like you were able to, you were playing that role before, but also would you say that maybe because of the lack of having a father there and having your mom be so busy, did you ever feel like it gave you this resolve that you wanted your family life to be different?
Yeah, definitely. I told my wife, I want our future kids to be spoiled. I don't want them to have to ask for anything. I would just want to hear what they want and I'll be able to get it for them. Like, I don't want my kids to ever have to deal with what I dealt with as a child, like going to sleep hungry, not having clothes for school, just having pretty much nothing. I didn't have gaming systems. I didn't have nice books. I didn't have all the fun things that kids got to have. And so I want to be able to provide that for my children.
The future for your children, what sort of future do you hope to provide for them? And what are some of the bigger concerns you have about their future when you go on TikTok and see all the crap that is in there?
Well, I want my kids to do whatever makes them happy. I don't care if that's selling tacos on the street or managing multi-million dollar companies. As long as they're happy with what they're doing and they know who they are, I'm fine with that. My main concern is that the generations that my kids are going to grow up in are going to be even more entitled, even more lazy, even more spoiled, and have less drive than my generation does now. And a common thing I've heard some of my family members say is all the problems started when the millennials started talking. And I agree with that sentiment. And I don't know what my daughter's going to have to go through being biracial. I don't know what my son's going to have to go through being biracial. And I'm concerned that they'll face unnecessary prejudice because of how they appear, not because of who they are.
And I might submit to you that because they are biracial, they'll be told they have to choose a side.
Exactly. I've hated that as a child. I've been told by numerous people on TikTok, I've deleted these comments, but it's like, oh, if you're not with us, you're against us. And how can I be against you if my bloodline is that of the Blackfoot? How I have ties to the tragedies and the atrocities that happened to the Native Americans. That wasn't my family's responsibility. I'm not against you. I just want you to look at it from both sides and make a scientific conclusion on what's really going on. If you're just taking it from one side or the other side, you're not going to get the full story. You're just going to get the snippets of what they want you to hear.
You're right. I'm basing this off of your TikTok, so I could be off here. But when I say your TikTok, what I mean is that video that I was so in love with, I shared. you mentioned, you know, your grandmother, you know, being Blackfoot, and also how, you know, your ancestors teaching you basically to provide a future, you know, that was better rather than holding on to the past. Yeah. What sort of teachings and even spiritual role has this, you know, your ancestral Native American tribe played in your life?
My elders taught me that hate was like a poison. And if you let that poison grow, and if you let that poison strengthen, it'll be all you become. It's just hate. And they told me that never to forget what happened to my ancestors, but to not hold it against anyone, because anyone alive right now had no responsibility for what happened to my ancestors. I don't hold anyone of English, Irish, Scottish, Spanish, German descent at all accountable for what happened to my ancestors, because they had no say in it. They weren't even a thought in history yet. So why blame other people for my problems when those people did nothing to attribute to it?
Do you feel like this rise of racism, because that's what it is, it's racism, mm-hmm. to hate people in this way. Do you feel like this rise of racism is gaining traction in the Native American community?
Oh, definitely. I've met some natives who just, they've said things like, death to the white man, we should take back our land no matter what the cost. I've seen videos on Native Americans making like assumptions that they were going to start scalping people again. Like, if we sit here and all we do is breed and hate, how are we going to advance? If anything, right now, me and my wife both agree, we have the feelings of probably another civil war. And it's just because of all these groups just branching off thinking they're better, or their struggle was worse, or no one's gone through what they went through, when all of us have gone through our own personal trials.
You know, it's funny that you bring up the civil war, because, you know, so I love history, and I've read a lot of history, and I'm much more of a fan of American colonial history, or I should say I've been attracted to it more, so I read more of it. But the more I've been reading the about the Civil War, the more it scares me because of the correlations, or at least the similarities between now and then. And a major similarity is that there were irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. Eventually the people said, you know, it is this way, there's no other way to do it. If people were to become, you know, very serious about this war, or actually, let me say it this way. If war becomes more and more impending, how do you feel like you can combat this mindset and this tribalism in order to get people to stay away from that path?
I would tell them, at the end of the day, we all bleed red. If you cut me and you cut yourself, we're both going to bleed the same color. It's not having to do with race. It's not having to do with me thinking I'm better or more oppressed than you. If we came together, we could solve so many other problems, but we refuse to come together and decide that, no, I would much rather just hate this person because of how they appear than try to make things better.
That's well said. As you've been doing your TikTok and stuff, you know, you make a lot of really good points, and to kind of say to you, you know, we were talking before the recording this podcast here, but I feel like, you know, something that I've really liked about your podcast is your TikTok videos is the fact that you are very straightforward. Mm-hmm. You don't make excuses for people. And you seem to be as honest as you can be, right? You're just like, this is how I feel. This is how it is. Why do you feel like that's such a rarity nowadays? Here's what I mean. When I go onto TikTok, if I find people who try to, you know, say it as it is, they're not trying to say it as it is. They're trying to get followers, mm-hmm. right? They're trying to be like, watch me slap this guy around. You know, like, ha, no, see these points. I don't get that sense from you. Why? why do you feel like people are just trying to get followers rather than trying to actually teach people something?
Because I think right now, especially among my generation, that those numbers actually mean something in real life. I am very appreciative for everyone who agreed with that video and decided to follow me for the content that I have. But at the end of the day, those followers aren't who I am. Those videos are who I am. And I think a lot of people are afraid to just be dead honest and very straightforward is because they're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. And I'm not afraid to hurt other people's feelings. And I don't say that in a I'm constantly going to hurt your feelings type of way. I'm just saying that I'm going to say it how it is. I'm going to say how I believe it and how I came to that conclusion. And if you don't agree, then that's on you. I can't change your mindset. Only you can.
So tell me about a time when you had to tell it as it is. And by the way, I believe telling it as it is in the way that you do it is one of the truest forms of love, because if you love someone, you're willing to hurt them, mm-hmm. right? You're not like, you're not a masochist or a sadist or anything, but you're willing to hurt them because you see what truth is. Tell me about a time when you spoke the truth in this way and it actually turned out well. It actually did something good for the person you spoke it to.
Yeah, my little brother, actually. He's 16 years old. He's a dumb kid, just like I was a dumb kid. And I don't, especially with my siblings, I don't beat around the bush. I don't try to make them feel better when they mess up. I tell them, you're messing up and you need to fix yourself. And I told my brother, like, at 16, I was emancipated. I didn't have my mom's support. I slept in my car. I didn't eat for days. Like, do you want to go through that? Do you want to experience that as a kid? And I told him, it's not an easy life. If I can go back and stay home and have those 2 years where I could develop more and maybe set myself up, I would have, but I didn't. And I told him how it was. I told him how real life is. And it kind of, he did cry a little bit, but it was more of a cry of realization that, like, he's messing up and he needs to fix what he's doing. And since then, we haven't had any issues with him.
That's incredible. that level of communication, a lot more families and a lot more friends need it.
Yeah.
Honestly, because if I'm drinking a poison to myself, I would want you to tell me, hey, that's poison. Yeah. I wouldn't want you to be like, well, he might be offended if I slap the drink out of his hand. Yeah. but what about when you did speak truth to someone, but it didn't turn out very well?
That video.
Can you tell me about that?
That video, for example, I had over what I think it was like 3,000 comments, and half of those were just, oh, you need to be educated more. And these were coming from people who weren't Native American. It's like, you need to be more educated and you need to listen to what he's saying. He has a good message. I told them, any type of discrimination, prejudice, bias, or hate because of one skin color is racism. And yet I can give them the textbook definition and it wouldn't click.
Well, and this is a funny observation. Those people making those comments and many of the people who actually follow this dude, that Native American guy, are tons of them are just white people.
Yeah.
White people who are like, who they don't actually, they don't believe what they try to tell all of us. At least not in the way that they tell us we should believe it. Because what they believe is, if I can announce how oppressive I am, I'm more righteous. Yeah. I'm a better person for doing so.
I've seen plenty of creators on TikTok who were like, oh, I'm so ashamed of my whiteness and I'm so ashamed of my heritage and I was nothing but an oppressor. And then I'll comment and say things like, you were never around. You had no direct influence on those types of things that happened. So why are you claiming these things? Do you want the views? Do you want the likes? Do you want the followers? Like, it's not, it's more of a hero complex than actual, like, an attempt at change.
And I'll even say, I think it's beyond the hero complex. I think it's the savior complex. Oh, yeah, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, like, if I can admit, if I can take upon myself these sins of the past, yeah. I can free everyone.
Yeah. And
no, it's
we as a whole of society, and I'm not just talking about African Americans, I'm talking about every race, every culture in the world has been enslaved. We were never really taken out of chains. We're still mentally in servitude to these certain mindsets that are negative and to these certain mindsets that are just degrading to us as humans. And for example, like, we have our phones, right? Twitter, yeah. Instagram, Facebook. That's where a lot of people get their news from, especially my generation. And the screen right there is its own little cage in itself, because we're so enveloped in our phones and thinking that Twitter is the most reliable news source that we refuse to break away from it, actually look up what we're trying to learn and apply it differently than just commenting a mean tweet.
You're right. You know, I have long believed that if you would give someone 1 month without a phone, 1 month without the social media interference and news media, mm-hmm. they would start seeing people as they really are.
I rarely upload to my Instagram, Snapchat, or Facebook. I only check it for upcoming UFC fights. That's about it. I don't dwell into drama. I don't click the breaking news pictures. I don't rely on anyone for my news at all, except news sources, like actual news sources.
Yeah. But you bring up something that you said made me think about how, you know, something I have observed is the most oppressed people in America are those who are most easily politically manipulated. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that does tend to be those who are in minority groups, because they have for decades now had politicians in their groups, you know, like a foot inside their door, inside their house, telling them what they ought to think, mm-hmm. telling them what their limitations are, and telling them they cannot make it without my help. Right. And I feel like I'm not like a huge believer in systemic racism, other than any system a politician sets in place to help someone mm-hmm. ends up hurting them. And in that way, there's systemic racism. In that way, they are put down. And yeah.
Like the great Ronald Reagan said, the nine most terrifying words in the English dictionary are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
I've not heard that phrase.
campaign speeches. And it's always because the area I grew up in was mostly Republican. I grew up in San Antonio. When I moved to El Paso, it was a completely different story. It was totally left-leaning. And I, so El Paso, Texas is a very Democratic area of Texas. And when the presidential race was going, not the presidential, the governor's race was going on, it was Ted Cruz versus some other dude. I can't remember his name, but he was a hard-leaning Democrat. And the Democratic dude says, "Oh, the Republicans are going to take away your rights and they're going to close the border and they're going to do this and that." And then Ted Cruz is saying, "Oh, the liberals are going to take away your guns and they're going to take away your rights and everything." I'm like, you guys just are arguing over stupid things to get votes. Like, you guys have no actual input on what will make our lives better or worse than just attacking each other. Even in the most recent presidential election between Biden and Trump, they didn't say anything that they were going to do for the American people. They were just telling the American people how each one of them was a horrible person and how he shouldn't be elected and he'll be the end of the country.
That's exactly right. That's right. And what bugs me so much is the ideal politician is the politician who will never get elected. And what I mean by that is, if you have a real good politician who should be in office, mm-hmm. he's not going to make promises that are stupid. He's not going to be like, you know, vitriolic or making an enemy of someone else. He's just going to be like, here's what I imagine. The best politician says, "Hey, I'm going to go in and take away all this government interference in your life. And I'm going to let you live without us. Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure no one infringes on your rights, but I'm not going to give you privileges. I'm not going to tax you more. I'm going to repeal much of our power. So you have more power to yourself." But if you have a politician who says that,
no one's going to vote for him.
Yeah. No one will ever vote for that person. I am curious to know, sorry, switching gears here a little bit. Your TikTok account recently got suspended. Now it's suspended till like the 28th of this month or next
month? This month.
Okay, tell me about that. Like, how did this come about?
Okay, so most people have come across this page, and I personally thought it was detrimental to people's health for enjoying this page. And what this page revolved around was a dude who loves severely obese women. and he was throwing a Las Vegas 2-week bash for obese women. So I did more research on this guy. Come to find out, this guy has 3 sexual harassment lawsuits against him for girls who have stayed at his house in Las Vegas. When I went on one of his lives, and as a joke, I put, "How's that harassment lawsuit gone, buddy?" And I got banned immediately from his account. I made a video tagging his account. I got banned from the live video. I made another video. You probably saw it. It was me giggling, and I said, "How's that sexual harassment lawsuit going, bud?"
Yes, I was curious.
Got reported for harassment and bullying. And then when I checked the notifications the next day, it said you're banned from commenting, liking, sharing, texting until the 28th. And so I've had multiple people who've gone. I got that video appealed, and it got back up on my account. And I've had multiple people who have said, like, yeah, this dude, he claims he has no money because of all these lawsuits, yet he's spending 2 weeks in Vegas housing 30 plus women, and then more and more sexual harassment complaints come out.
You know, this is what astounds me, is that these tech companies, they have policies in place. You know, their response is basically to look at one side of the matter, not both, mm-hmm. right? Because if they would have looked at both, it would have been more like, okay, if I ban Zodiac dude here, if I ban him, I'm going to empower this other guy to trick more people and to be put into a situation they probably don't want to be involved in mm-hmm. because this guy is a perv, right? Instead, they just go, "You're being a bully," you know, they kick you out. And then now you basically endanger more people. Mm-hmm. I think that is far worse. I think it is a very good thing to allow people to say that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. You weren't pulling a political stunt, making up this idea that he had sexual harassments. Like that was an actual verifiable mm-hmm. fact. And yet TikTok's like, "No, we'd rather have all those poor women in Vegas with this dude."
And what irritates me more, and I know this sounds just like petty and small compared to everything else he's accused of, the dude is German. I am fluent in conversational German. My great-grandmother on my mom's side was a German immigrant who married my great-grandfather, who was a Filipino immigrant. She survived the Holocaust, so she taught me German from a very young age. And now you have this other German dude who is just this nasty perv who's banning anyone who says anything wrong against him. I won't say what the translation is, but in English, but his priorities are scheiße.
I know enough of German to understand.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right. That's just crazy to me. So wait, this German guy, is he like an immigrant here, or does he fly in to have these international sexual harassment affairs?
I'm pretty what I've seen, he's a resident. And I remember going into one of his lives, and he said he was hired at a tech company, some sort of IT, and that's how he could afford the nice house, the pool, flying these random women in. But I just came across him one day. And I was kind of disgusted because he's kind of glorifying unhealthy living, saying that it's okay yeah. and every size is healthy when it's not. Right now I'm sitting at 205 pounds and I don't feel healthy, even for a 6-foot male.
You know, and that was actually the next point I wanted to make, was the fact that I'm very certain if he has any money, which apparently he has enough money to put on these daggum events, yeah. it's only because he says what people want him to say. He says what people want to hear, which is, you know, being overweight and, you know, morbidly obese, all this jazz, there's nothing wrong with that. And then it's amazing that if you would just say the things that people, that radicals want you to say, you know, things that are radically bad for your health or whatever else, you are supported. Mm-hmm. Truth is unpopular. You know, facts are definitely like, no one wants to live by those anymore. Mm-hmm. And they'll never realize that in the end, they're going to ruin their lives.
Yeah. My aunt, my great aunt on my mother's side, didn't take care of herself, let herself get overweight, was a smoker, was a diabetic, and in 2017 passed away from renal, kidney, and lung failure. Like those things aren't attractive. Oh. Those things don't make you special just because everyone else thinks it's okay to do when it's not healthy. And luckily I don't have any family members who are severely obese, and they're not, a lot of my family is very active, but it's painful seeing these people walk around and claim that they're extremely healthy when they can't go up a flight of stairs and they're out of breath, or they can't do certain activities because their body won't allow them, either by the size or just due to their body can't keep up.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something here that is going to be very unpopular for anyone who is triggered by COVID-19 stuff. But I feel like one of the greatest lessons we should have walked away with from COVID-19 was the fact that you need to take care of your body. Mm-hmm. Like those who are most at risk to die or have, you know, serious complications, mm-hmm. are those who didn't take good care of their bodies, right? Like, I mean, you have those who are older, and with age, naturally things happen. However, I'm not blind. I know for a fact that many of these people who are older, they have many of the health complications that they have because they did not take care of themselves along the way, mm-hmm. right? And we take it for granted. We just say, oh, when they're that old, that's what you expect to have. And it's like, well, unless you do it differently. And then you have a ton of people who are not old, who are also in a very dangerous category because of
me and my wife are both immunocompromised. I have Crohn's disease and my wife has fibromyalgia and celiac disease. Oh, and wow. We both agreed. We actually got our COVID vaccines today because we wanted to wait until they came out with studies on the side effects of the COVID vaccine with autoimmune disorders. And today, thankfully, it was approved that no, there's no great side effects. You'll have the normal side effects of any type of vaccine. But before the vaccine, when I was constantly masking up, me and my wife were constantly sanitizing. We would get shit on because we refused to take off our masks. And my grandfather, who passed away in March, had stage 4 colon cancer. And people would still try to tell him to take off his mask, that the virus is fake. And he's the most prone person at the time to get COVID. And And you have these, as we call Karens, saying, oh, I can't breathe in a mask, and this mask cuts off my oxygen. My grandfather, who had cancer, asthma, and a multitude of other diseases, was able to wear a mask for a two-hour doctor's appointment. And I'm feeling like anyone else can wear it for a five-minute shopping trip.
Yeah, that's actually very true. I was going to say, even before COVID happened, were you also basically very, very sanitary as well? Like you were probably sanitizing things a lot more thoroughly than most people did on average.
Yeah. It's with Crohn's disease, you have barely an immune system as it is. Luckily, I've never had to have my intestines cut out because it got that bad, or a bag put in, but it was much more susceptible for me to get sick and get even more sicker than I usually would. So like the common cold would put me in bed for 3 days, when most people with the common cold, they'll be out for a couple of hours and then be fine the next day.
You know, I hope that you got the vaccinated today. I hope that you don't have any bad negative, large negative effects. Everyone, like most of my coworkers, when they all got it, they were all like totally wiped out for like the rest of the day or several days. And it's really weird how everyone's body will respond very differently to the vaccine. Because like some people, they're just like, I couldn't move, couldn't get out of bed. And then other people are like, I'm just fine.
Yeah, I'm feeling fine. We got ours about 6 hours ago. And I haven't had any drowsiness, no fever, no nausea, things like that, where they usually get it. So that's hopefully a good sign that nothing else will happen down the road.
Yeah. You know, along the lines of COVID-19, my feeling and view about it is that it is real, but more than anything else, it's a political pandemic. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is it was used as the excuse for everything, as the excuse for people not to have their businesses open, for people not to go see family. As the excuse for basically the government to tell us everything we should do with our lives. One of the greatest beefs I have with it is the fact that people died without their family near their side. You know, my grandmother, she got COVID and she's in a nursing home. And then the doctor said, oh, she got through it. She's done. But thing is, like with many people who are that old, she's like 84. When you get COVID, your immune system is like shot really bad. Mm-hmm. And then something simple came along and killed her within a couple of days after she got through COVID. And what really upset me was the fact that the doctors were basically saying, no, you can't be with her, right? So my uncle, he lives in her area, and he saw her every day, and they're like, no, you can't be with her. And like, when me and my siblings, my mom, like all of us are hearing about this, we're like freaking out. We're like, no effing way is our grandmother going to die without someone by her side. Now, some great miracles took place in which the nursing home had a whole wing that was open, which they said, okay, we'll let you go in there and be with her in her final hours. But they weren't going to. She was literally going to die on her own. And I'm very grateful that that didn't happen. But then my heart just broke after going through that experience when I finally realized how many thousands of people went through this and they didn't have their loved ones by their side. And many of the people didn't get to say goodbye to their loved ones.
Yeah. That broke my heart hearing the stories about how there were hundreds of people just alone dying in pain with no comfort. And the only faces they saw were between masks and white or the yellow dress downs that nurses will wear. And it made me even angrier that people are saying this was a fake virus and that people are saying it was made up.
Yeah, that's not
and
true.
That it was as recoverable as the common cold. When people in America, didn't we pass, I think it was like 1 million deaths in the United States or something like that. And I think that should be proof enough that this is real, that you should take this serious. And the people who are refusing to mask up, refusing to get vaccinated, and the ones who are spreading it, just don't care. They don't care about other people's health. And yet people like me will get yelled at or lectured on TikTok because I refuse to not take off my mask.
Sure. You know, this is where I'll differ from you for a little bit here. And that is, you know, I believe very strongly that everyone should have the right to decide for themselves what their health is. I think it's totally wrong anyone says this is a fake virus. But for me, like, I haven't been vaccinated, but that's just because when I went to the Philippines, I got super, super sick. And I was treated with a lot of different medicines. And ever since then, I've never been quite normal. And so for me, I don't get the vaccine primarily because I'm afraid I could have an allergic reaction because I developed all sorts of like allergies from then. And I don't know anymore. So I fear an allergic reaction more than anything else. And not because I'm like, it's fake. It's more like I fear what it might do to me. And then also in terms of like, you know, masking, I think people should decide for themselves. But when I go back to the political, it's more of a political virus. What I mean by that is it also gave people, it gave politicians this opportunity to once again divide us even further and be like, those are the douchebags, you know, or those are the sheep. And it's like, that's not the case. Like we perceive it differently, right? And for me, you know, I have had serious lung complications, and wearing a mask, like, it makes it really hard for me to breathe. And for me, I'm like, if I'm going to get the virus, I want to get the virus without the mask on. I want to breathe normally, but I encourage anyone to do anything that they need in order to feel like they take care of their health. I don't think it's right for me to be like, take off the mask or don't get vaccinated. In fact, I believe you should get vaccinated if that's what you want to do. You should wear a mask if that's what you want to do. And just know that I actually deeply care about other people as well. I worry about my own health differently, if that makes sense. Yeah,
I respect everyone's option on whether to not get vaccinated. I don't question like, well, why aren't you getting the vaccine if you're not getting it? Okay, that's totally your choice.
Yeah, and also like, going back to this idea that, you know, if we can learn, you know, talk to one another and understand one another better, then we start to empathize with one another and we start to go, okay, you know, that's not how I see it. That's not what I would do, but I respect this person. And then what I've discovered is we feel less inclined to attack the caricature of each other. Right. And rather just be like, for example, all the friends that I have had who are very, very, they're far left leaning, and I'm definitely not far left leaning, but I still love them and I'm still their friend. It's because I chat with them and I'm like, despite I greatly disagree about some of these issues, dude, I really like this guy. I want to be his friend. And that's what I hope they feel about me, right? I want them to be like, this guy's nuts. You know, like, he likes guns. And it's like, but they still want to be my friend because that's, you know, that's what matters more. And I feel like if we bridge this divide more and stop listening to dumb politicians, we can avoid something like a civil war. But it's got to take a lot. I think it's got to take a lot more work. I think the work that you do on TikTok is exactly what needs to be done, because you're willing to have the full conversation. Even if you have to tell more about yourself, it allows people to go, oh, that's not how I thought about, you know, thought of it. Mm-hmm. Rather than you being like, yo, this guy's an idiot, you know, throwing down in that way. Elijah, I want to know how anyone who listens to this podcast can support you. Cause I feel like if you took the time to come be on my show for like an hour now, I want people to be able to listen to you, follow you, or do what they can to support you. So how can they find you?
TikTok, Zodiac Rants is pretty much the only social media I stay constantly on. Zodiak Rants. I don't use the C, I use the K. I don't put like in my, it's in my bio. It says Venmo and PayPal, and I just put nah. Like I don't need anyone else's money. I don't need them to feel obliged to send me money because they like my content. It that's why it's a free app. You just follow, support, sure. And that's about it. That's all I ask. If you guys like the content, just to follow it.
Awesome. And I like to ask this of my guests, Elijah. If you had, you know, a couple minutes here to just say anything you could, let's say you had a loudspeaker, you could speak to the whole world. What would you say to them right now in this moment in time?
Well, a couple of things. I am very happy that the Lakota children were returned. That's another Native American tribe, and I hope that they find their children find peace, and I hope that they're happy and they're content now. Just stop sitting in self-hate. Stop projecting your hate on people who don't deserve it. Just try to be a better person. And if you can't be a better person, then you need to start doing some deep inner searching to find that good person. And as soon as you do that, then the world could be a better place. But I can't control everyone's thinking. So everyone has to do it either at their own pace or not at all.
Awesome. I think that's a great message. You know, if we can improve ourselves in these ways, if we can have a transformation like an Elijah transformation, you know, whether it's at 16, whether it's at 35 or whatever your age is, to have this realization that there, you're not as limited as you think you are. The world isn't as black and white as people make it out to be. I feel like, you know, we can create a world that is so much better than it currently is. Thank you so much again for being on my show. And, honestly, do you have any questions for me before I let you go? I'm curious. I just want to know if you had anything to ask me.
No questions. I'm just really grateful you gave me the opportunity to use this platform to talk about issues that are really relevant, especially on social media and things like that today.
Well, thanks again for being on the show. And I will, so right now this is where I would cut the audio, and I'll cut it up and I'll do an outro later. Dude, I feel like I already appreciated you and liked you so much before I started this conversation. And now like, I'm like, dude, this guy's freaking awesome. Like, I wish we lived close to each other so we could hang out or something. Like you seem like someone I would like totally, you know, let's go bowling or, you know, let's go shooting or something. That'd be awesome.